Welcome to the Mist Chronicles. It's me again, Pastor Cece. I am excited for our episode today. I had a wonderful opportunity to interview a lovely person. This guest of ours is Ashley Johnson. Ashley is a psalmist, a childcare professional. She is a doula. She is a mother. She is enjoying the blessing of belonging to God and being a daughter of God. With our season being about connection, I was grateful that the Lord put her on my heart to invite to the podcast because she's so earnest and intentional about Him. And she's been growing over the time that I've met her, to where I believe and I agree with God and with heaven that she can convey the experience of deriving meaning out of her connection with God, as well as how that connection impacts her connection to her children, to her community overall. Be ready to listen and engage and hear just the authenticity and love that Ashley conveys in her conversation around her experience of God being in her midst. This will be a good episode. God bless. All right. Thank you, Ashley, for joining us for our for this particular episode. I wanted to interview you, talk to you, because I remembered you from our retreat. And when we did our retreat, it seemed to be different, something refreshing. And so I wanted to give, you know, people who listen to the podcast an opportunity to kind of see what the experience is like, but also how you, from your own angle, from your own background, were able to tap into the presence of God and inviting Him into your midst, into your experience of faith. So if you can start, share what you like, a little bit about yourself, whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay. My name is Ashley Johnson. I'm the youngest of 10 kids. I come from pastors. I have two children. And I am loving this new location here in Texas. I'm actually a paraprofessional at the moment, but I just graduated to become a prenatal coach. So I'm a doula. So that's about me.
That's exciting. Congratulations. I had a doula my last baby. And I had a home birth, and she was absolutely amazing. And you have such a good temperament, so I'm sure you're going to be amazing at it. How did you find yourself at the retreat attending? Give some feedback, because, you know, your wonderful sister, I know she brought you, but, like, what's your story behind even wanting to come?
So my big sister, my awesome big sister, pretty much was like, hey, we're going somewhere. I'll be there in Texas, and you're going to drive me to San Antonio. And I said, oh, this is what we're doing. She just said, we're going somewhere. And she's like, I think you just need it. But it was perfect timing, because in that moment, I actually was in a dark place. My life was upside down, and it was definitely not a coincidence, but it was definitely appointed for me. So had it not been for my sister, I would have not known anything about the retreat or meeting you, Pastor Cece. So I'm grateful for that.
Me too. Like, did you have, I guess, you know, with everything, because we don't really advertise, you know, the events. We're like another person tell a person, because it seems to be more authentic engagement that way. Right.
Yeah.
But did you have any, like, travel anxiety? Were you like, where's my sister taking me? Were you just like, I'm in? Like, where were you coming from?
I'm in Fort Worth. So she flew in from Chicago. And she tricked me in driving, actually. She was just like, she's like, you drive the first 2 hours. And she said, you know, I'll drive the next, but I'll get you some Starbucks. Cause you know, I love me some Starbucks. But she was just pretty much, she didn't say too much, but what captured me was she said, you'll no longer be in this dark place. So this is where you need to be. So she didn't like elaborate on it. But she did say that I was going to be with a bunch of ladies. It'll be a more intimate session. And that, of course, there will be some worshiping moments because, you know, I'm a worshiper. So she kind of had me at that. But the main part was in that moment when she spoke those words, it's going to pull you from a dark place. I actually never told her. And I know she's my big sister and, you know, I tell her bits and pieces of it, but she didn't know exactly at that moment what I was getting ready to give myself into. And the choice that I was getting ready to make was going to not just affect me, but affect everybody that was connected to me. And I wouldn't been able to come back from it. So it was perfect timing and I appreciate it.
That's an awesome testimony. When I like, she didn't know, but you knew what you were about to enter into. And God comes right in and like, yeah, let's take this little turn right here.
Yeah, but I was nervous. I was like, what am I getting myself into? But because I trust my sister and she's never put me in a situation where I didn't gain something from it. And not to say that everything I do to gain. But as far as this aspect, it was just like, well, I'm just going. I'm calling off work. You go. I don't even remember who took care of my kids, but I was like, we doing this. So I drove the entire way, but I got my Starbucks. So it was okay.
Your reward was there. So it was good.
Yeah. And I got her to try Starbucks. She says it's complicated. So I'm like, all right, fine. It is. The orders are not normal.
So, oh, you do special things with your orders.
Yeah, they have fancy names versus Dunkin' Donuts, decaf. You know, with the sugar, vanilla. No, it's a whole list.
Okay. So. What's your favorite drink then?
It's called a caramel ribbon crunch with extra caramel. And then I do almond milk with it. So I don't know. I just like it.
Okay. I used to do Starbucks. I am now doing, I think it's called the Grind out here in Texas. And so okay. They have something called the Sandlot, and they said it's like s'mores in a cup. And so I get it with almond milk and cold foam. And I know, like, if you're getting cold foam, why are you getting almond milk? But it makes a difference. I can't have a lot.
It does. It blends.
Right? When you're looking at where you were and you were about to make that decision, and then your sister says, hey, let's go. What was your thought?
Upon, like, the first entrance, even though I was still a little hesitant, it was actually like, it was familiar. Everybody was just nice. I'm not gonna use the word cordial, but everybody was like genuinely nice. But the more and more I just sat in the house, I was challenged, and I don't like to be challenged, but something inside of me said, this is a good challenge. So I actually, in that moment, that's when I knew, yeah, I'm not gonna leave here the same. It's evidence. So just try your best to let down your walls, to let down your guards, and to stay out of your own way. So that's what that was like.
Okay. All right. That really helps. You know, to hear that was the moment where it was like, all right, I'm a shift now. I'm gonna let this happen. Whatever this is, I'm gonna let this happen. How did you look at even allowing your walls to come down? Like, was there a moment where you really felt that wall, like, don't break me, like, don't get in my way? And you just said, I'm going through this. I'm not going to stay here.
It was a literal fight. The best way that I can explain it so for a long time, I was in a room. And the room had no windows, no doors, and it had no sound. I can hear on the outside, but they couldn't hear me. So being in that space, in that atmosphere, it gave me a glimpse of a window. But because I've been in that place for so long, it was a fight. It was almost like walking in slow motion just to be able to touch the window. And a part of me is like, okay, is this a window or is this just, you know, I don't know, is it real or is it fake? Is it plastered? Is it, you know, is it drawing? Is this an actual window? It was that type of like a battle, even down to the point where asthma was flaring up, physical asthma was flaring up. And it was strange. And I don't like being in strange places and I don't like being uncomfortable. But I'm learning from that moment and some moments I've had after this experience. It's in those moments that I'm uncomfortable is when I pretty much say, you know what? I ain't even finna fight this no more. Just, it can't get any worse. Like, it really couldn't get any worse. So in that moment, I was able to actually touch a window. And the window wasn't all the way open, but I was able to feel a breeze. At least in that first night, I was able to feel a breeze. And even that was just enough for me to say, hey, I can go back home and I can, you know, at least find a door. But I knew that was just the beginning because we was there the whole weekend. So, but yes, that was the best way I can explain it, but give a visual of it.
That's a really very vivid picture of your experience. And I appreciate you sharing it because when I'm listening to it and picturing it, it's like I'm able to be in that moment, right? And I'm wondering, what was it? Was it, you know, did you know you was in that room before? Like, were you aware that this room even existed before that moment?
The thing was, I've been in that room for over 3 years. So I did everything that I was supposed to do. I got up and went to work. I wasn't taking medication. I would go to church, but not really be at church. So I was like physically there, but mentally I was in that room and I would be able to check out at any moment. So when I first walked into the room, it was familiar because it was just like something on the outside. It's like when you wake up and you can hear the birds chirping, you already know that there's a sky, that there's trees, there's grass. So it's familiar because it's something that you've seen. So if that makes sense, that's kind of how this experience, and I am more dramatic because I work with children and I like for them to understand me. But because I was in that room for so long, I think it was hard for me to realize that the window was real because I've been there so long. And sometimes you think you see things when you go to touch it and run to it, you're really just running into another wall. So that's kind of where that hesitant came from. It was like, but at that moment, it was just like, I can hear that there's something out there. I can hear that there's something beyond the walls. But I just couldn't see it. So, but with the breeze in the window, I was able to feel the breeze. I was able to breathe. I was able to gather smells that were familiar, if that makes sense. Because I was in a mental place. I was depressed and suicidal. So that was my dark place. And I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. But I guess my reality is at any moment, I can go back there because it's familiar. The best way I can explain it is it was safety at some time because I didn't have to be emotional. I didn't have to be responsible. I didn't have to be accountable and I didn't have to face what I learned there, what is considered trauma. So that's what made it hard to grab and say, okay, then maybe this window is real. I said, because if the window is real, then what I hear outside, what I think is out there, that means I got to face it. Am I really ready to face it?
Because I am emotional right now. Because depression, the way that you explained it and expounded upon it as this room, is so relatable. You know, we're in rooms all the time of some sort. But sometimes we have become accustomed to those rooms, right? And if there's no experience that counters the reality and the consistency of that experience, then mm-hmm. you end up just settling into that same space. And so I thank God that Andrea was just like, I'm grabbing you, because it's not as, and it's true, you can just literally go back. But it's something about being free. It's something about getting beyond it, or at least having the experience of the wind to tell you, you don't have to stay there. Yeah. Even if that door is open, the wind is like, don't go that way. I'm this way.
Yeah. And I think that's, I know that's why I am grateful. I'm going to always be grateful for, I'm not going to use the word experience because I've experienced God before, but this was an encounterment. This was different. This was not just an emotional feeling. And yes, my emotions were there. And I had to actually get rid of some of the emotions. But it wasn't an emotion. It was like waking up in the morning when you take your first breath. You don't think about it. You just do it. You just know that it's there. It was that kind of encounter. Like, I just know that this is finally going to be like real. Like, it's going to be a different experience, yes, in whole, because there's different people. There's all different backgrounds. And I don't know what any of these people's story is. And then, of course, you know that, well, they're going to look at you. They're going to judge you. Well, they got their own issues. Yeah, but your issues might be bigger than theirs. Oh, well, they might think you're weird. So all these thoughts. And I'm like, okay, just close the window, because it was safe in there, but it was lonely. And what I didn't mention in the rooms, have you remember the old movies where it was, what are they called? The old fashioned movies where they're on the tape and they
tape.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You would see those on the walls, but you would see all the things that you didn't get. I saw all the mistakes that I've made, all the mistakes that was made towards me, and I couldn't turn them off because they would flash at any moment. So even though that was, it was like literally is torment, being tormented in a room.
Yeah.
But it was the best encounter. And if I could tell the world, I would, to get their own understanding, to get their own experience, to just sense it and to get to the place where you just know. And it doesn't stop things from happening. It doesn't stop that what had happened, you know, from being there or being triggered or being reminded. But you can always go back and just open up the window and say, all right, let's regroup, but let's go on over here. Let's keep this window open, but let's close that door.
When we look at, you know, the traumas, because, you know, they call it a trauma comparison, where you're trying to like, oh, I got a worse trauma. You know how you tell somebody, oh, I bumped my knee. They're like, man, I broke my knee. You
know, yeah.
Like, you know, but one of the things about, and one of the reasons why we were doing it is because when you're able to come together and share, yes, this has happened to me, but there's no shame. You're not hearing, well, what you should have did was.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually being encouraged not only to expose it, but to unload it. And then being supported in the unloading. You know, yeah. And then being supported in keeping it unloaded, like that whole yeah. transition part, right? Because we don't, for whatever reason, over time, which I can get to a whole nother thing about that, but over time, we've just learned to poke at wounds versus actually help them to heal, you know, being salved to help them heal. Mm-hmm. And so, whenever I think about being in the midst or being allowing God in my midst, it's not a haphazard encounter. It's not like, oh, I just want you to come hang out, which we can do that, right? But
right.
The side of it is he has all of this healing and blessing and amazingness. And I could tap into that versus keeping myself in a corner and just be like, hey, how you doing, Jesus? Check you later, you know? What I'm hearing you say is yes, it was familiar. That was cool. But now I know. Like now I've been able to breathe. And so I'm taking this forward
mm-hmm.
to keep myself going in the right direction. Now, was there any verse or something that you walked away with scripturally that you was like, yeah, I got to eat on that. I need to keep that in focus or in mind.
I I did take notes. I don't know if it was a scripture.
Or anything that was said that you remembered that kind of helped you anchor to the moment.
There's actually a couple, two moments. One, when I was able to go into the room alone. And ironically, there was no windows in that room. But there was a door. It triggered me to the place where I did not want to even build myself up to see what God was saying. Because I was afraid. Because I'm like, I know in my mind that this is what it feels like. But I am physically in a room. And I can hear everybody on the outside of the room. I can hear them praying. I can hear them. I'm like, okay, I want that. And because I'm like, I don't know, I can't explain it, but it was in their cries. And it was different. It was different levels, different tones, different sounds, different frequencies. It's the best way I can explain it. But it was something about in their moans. It was just like a part of me was like, not comparing myself to them, but it was like, okay, God, I want to get there. Or when they would holler, I'd be like, there's something was released. Like I knew, but I'm still sitting in the room like, okay, Lord, can you open up the window now? Even one time I visualized, okay, they're in the other room, but is this door going to actually lock me in here? Am I going to now physically and mentally be in a closed space where I can still hear, but yet I can't touch or physically see anybody? It was a lot, but then it was, oh my God, I cannot remember a song. It was a song that played. I don't know the name of it. I know it's His Presence Is Here to Heal. And I repeated it over and over and over again. And listening to the cries and having the physical, it was almost like it was so overwhelming. It took, instead of me just giving up and going and making back the decision that I originally wanted to do, it forced me to say, you know what, Lord? I ain't got nowhere else to go, and I am literally stuck in the wall, and I don't want people to think I'm crazy. So I'm gonna either give me what they got or my own version, or we're just gonna sit in the room and we're gonna pretend like, you know, we heard from the Lord. So either way, these are your options. And I'm learning to talk to God like my girlfriend, because he's beyond that. You know what I mean? I should be able to get so transparent with him, even though he already knows. But it was in that moment I realized His presence actually really was here to heal me. Just, it was just so much. And it was just like, at that moment, it was just like, you know what? I'm done. And something inside, it didn't go away, but I had to finally acknowledge that what I was feeling, yes, my marriage or lack of marriage played a part in it. Yes, the lack of support being here in Texas played a part in it. Yes, not having the amount of education I wanted played in a part of it. But what actually was there was the hidden secrets that I faced in my childhood that actually was hindering me. Because a part of me was still an eight-year-old little girl that made a decision to get the attention of her parents, but yet at the same time really wanted the end result where I would just go to sleep and never wake up again. It was that what was pulled out. It was in that where I was able to actually cry. And even in that experience, I hadn't been able to cry in quite some time. So I was emotionally unavailable to my children, to everybody around me. So in that moment, it was one of them ugly, good cries. Like it was ugly, but I'm glad I was in the room by myself because nobody saw it. But it felt, it was almost as rememberable as labor, bringing life into this world. It was that surreal. It was that humbling. Like, why are you choosing me? Like, what do I have to offer? So it was in that moment, and I still listen to that song to this day. I still don't know where it came from. I think my sister said it was Yolanda Adams' song, His Presence Is Here to Heal. And when I learned it from the very person who brought me to the mist. Yeah. Everything goes back to my sister. All the good stuff.
I'm going to let Pastor Tony or Antonio come on and share some more insights about the Mist Church and Retreat. Thanks.
The Mist Church and Retreat is a Bible-focused, trauma-overcoming, and Holy Spirit-led ministry, realizing the vision of gathering people for healing and prospering through and in Jesus. As a relational, apostolic, and prophetic ministry, we keep the Word of God in the center of our lived experience. We do this by orienting our relationships through a Kingdom of God lens that sustains and directs us by the Holy Spirit. His direction opens our understanding and the world around us. Our hope is in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. We welcome you to check out our website for events and resources. Attend our seminars and conferences for your breakthrough. We look forward to meeting you. I'll pass the baton back to my wife for you to enjoy this episode.
As I was listening to you, I call it blessed frailty that we have, where God ensures in our makeup, from Adam, we were broken naturally, which means that we have to depend on Him, right? We have to turn to Him. We have to come from the Spirit, right? And so now through Christ, we have access, but now we have to learn how to be spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so that learning means that we have to embrace frailty. And it's a blessed thing because we're not hindered in being favored, right? We're not missing out on anything. It's just that we have to practice dependency. We have to practice reliance. Otherwise, we lose the strength, the grace, and all that we need, right?
Yeah.
And so when I'm listening to you and you said how that 8-year-old was still inside, we don't recognize that the time that passed doesn't necessarily mean that you moved. It just means that time passed. And even if you had the education and you had that 8-year-old would still be sitting there like, you good, but I'm not good. Right. And so just that in that moment, God didn't fix all of those things in that moment. He went to the core of you. He went to the center of you and said, she needs my love here. I can do all of that. But if I can get to the girl, if I can get to her heart, then we can move her forward, right? And that love of the Father, the love of God, He sees bigger than that. But our challenge is being willing to be in the uncomfortable place long enough to allow Him to touch you. Because still, you had to sit there and do the ugly cry. If you didn't do the ugly cry, if you have just been like, yeah, I see it, okay. But if you hadn't like grieved over her, went through the pain that she went through, and not by yourself, because whenever God takes us to a place, He's with us in it.
Yeah.
Which helps us to come out of it. Because we couldn't get ourselves out of it. But He actually went to that place with you in a similar space to show how much greater and bigger He is. Right?
Yeah, He got jokes. He got jokes. I'm gonna give him that.
He make it clear, like, I'm the one, okay? This is what we do. But to changed that to where now, even when you talked about the room, you can close that door. It was something you couldn't do before, right? And so now you can just be like, I'm not doing that. Where before it seemed like you had no choice.
Yeah.
Now you have choice. That is an amazing testimony that you have. And I pray that you're celebrating it as you need to celebrate it. Because me hearing it, like, I'm just like, this is so amazing. The love of the Father, that all the other stuff wouldn't have disqualified you. Like, none of that stuff disqualified, none of it kept you from him. But she was locked away, so she couldn't get to him either. That's beautiful that the Father met you where you needed it. And what I see in your testimony is that God made sure that the one most important to you, your Alpha, your Creator, your Omega, he made sure to give you the opportunity to be seen in a way that truly fulfilled you and helped you to be free, that you could know. Because even if your parents saw you, you know, they talk about how you can have the best parents and still it'll be something missing, right? Because we all want to be seen for who we are without performance, without perfection, and know that we are loved and know that we are embraced. And when the Father is able to take us to those moments where that didn't happen, when we most needed it, it's a breakthrough moment. And then it's almost like a compelling to move forward and to really live. Like, okay, now I think I have breath. Now I think I can do something, right? It can feel very frantic because it's almost like, it's never been out. I've never seen anything. I feel like it's a whole new world out there.
And honestly, it has. It's from that moment. It's been, what, a year?
Yes. Mm-hmm. About a year and a half this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have actually been seen.
Wow.
But when they look at me and they see me, they see the things that I haven't even seen.
Okay.
And I don't have to do anything. I don't have to crave attention because I learned to be able to be seen by the most important person, the most important being in my entire life. And then underneath that is myself, how I see me. And I think I look good. I think I'm very talented. I think I'm very compassionate. I think I am very smart. I think I'm very driven. And then my children, because I can now give them what I have because I haven't. I can't give them anything that I don't have. So if I didn't have real love, I couldn't give it to them. If I didn't have confidence, I couldn't show them how to have it. I can now give them what they need.
That's
and I like being seen in a good, positive way.
Yeah.
It's rewarding. But then it reminds me of, oh, if this is a nice feeling here, it's going to be a party when I get up into heaven, because them going to be some real, like, reward. And I make sure I need all my rubies. He needs to paint them yellow. Like, I got it all in my head, you know. But I'm like, if I can feel this love, valued, seen, without expectations, without gimmicks. Man, I wish I would have been free a lot sooner. But I do know that it was a time and it was appointed in that moment.
It was. I want to look at, like, because you've already kind of shared what some of your takeaways were. But, you know, research says that you keep about 30% of what you learned when you learn it through demonstrations, right? Versus 70% of what you actually experience.
Mm.
So I wanna hear, like, the parts of this moment, would you say this is your 70 or would you say it's your 30? Because you had some demonstration, like it was one-on-one with God, right? And you had that. But then I know we had teaching and we had conversation, and some of these conversations was off the chain. Like, we didn't leave. We weren't bashful about what we talked about, and we always came back to scripture. But how did you see your experience, like, out of what you learned
What was your ratio like?
I'm going to say my experience, I'm going to say it's the 70%.
Okay.
And I say that is because it wasn't just my experience. It wasn't just my encounter. It was everything in whole, seeing other people. And I get this butterfly feeling in my stomach when I see somebody else happy. Even though I'm like, okay, I don't deserve it, but I want other people to be happy. So to be able to experience the happiness, but it wasn't even happiness because that is temporary. To experience joy and then to experience the person next to me and not even knowing their full story or not even knowing what they felt in that moment, because we all have emotions, but we don't experience those emotions at the same time. So we can experience the same thing. We can go through the same issue, but mine can make me numb. Yours can make you angry. Yours can make you sad. Yours can make you confused. And then we can switch them up all at the same time. So I will definitely say the teaching, and it wasn't just, now here I'm gonna throw you a whole bunch of scriptures. It was the actual breakdown of it. It was the actual, not the NIV version, but it was the one-on-one life coach version. I even think there was one time when we sat down, he was like, if you need to cry, you need to cry. If you need to yell, you need to yell. And I remember you looking all around the room. Mm-hmm. And then I told my sister, I said, yeah, I was supposed to be here. Because you looked at me and made eye contact with me. I don't know if you noticed it. If you got a cuss. I said, Andrew, why is she telling my business? And she don't even know me like that. I said, because I know Peter, my uncle. Yes, I do. But that was like a little inside joke. But I was like, yep, this is where I'm supposed to be. Because it was good information. And yes, a lot of it I'm not going to be able to memorize, but I know that it's a seed that has been planted into me, because when I need it in that moment, it comes. And then I'd be like, oh, I don't know where that came from. Oh, yeah, I had that experience. Maybe, was that what she said? Okay, I don't know. I'm going to go, but I'm going to roll with it because this is where I'm at right now. But I can always pull back. No difference in growing up in church and the church of God in Christ, you know, because everything was right and everything wasn't wrong. But like, if you start a scripture, I can say it. Or if you talk about a person, I can understand empathy because I've learned something. You know, I took away something. Even down to the part where you had us writing down stuff and burning it. I said, oh, Lord, this better be of you, because this ain't it. You know, we're supposed to go to the altar and tarry. We're supposed to get forced to, you know, fall out and have a seizure. This ain't it. This is gentle. How is this even possible? Ain't nobody yelling. She's just talking. I said, this is not, this is too gentle. But it was real. Even down to the point where after I came back, I think I did it maybe 6 months ago. I wrote down things that I didn't think, I thought I was over, but they were still hiding in there. I had to write all those down. And I had to write, it was like writing letters to the actual people. And as I was writing, I was like, ooh, that hurts. Why does that hurt? Oh, I think I'm still angry with them. But no, I'm not going to be angry because I love them. You know what? I did have a bad thought when he asked me for $5. You write, okay, let me write this down. Okay, look, we're gonna say a prayer. Like, Lord, I'm giving this to you. And it's something about, because we're human, it's the physical that we see. It's the visualization that we needed, because in that moment, I'm watching it burn. I was watching it leave. And because I seen it and I felt it, I wrote it, I knew it, it was like all together. It was the natural and the spiritual coming together, but for my good.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that it's not strange for us to have, when we're going through something spiritual, to have a physical manifestation, regardless of its anxiety or joy. It is a part of being one. And when you start unlocking your emotions, they start expressing themselves. And now you got to learn how to do that. And I know it's like different. Now I got to learn how to do this. But it is also like moments like this where you get to smile and laugh about it, that it really reinforces the healing. It reinforces your progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the reasons why we're so gentle is because life has been so hard.
You know, I don't have anything against vegetarian, and, you know, being a midwife, I cut. You know what I'm saying? I got to say rough things. But it doesn't mean that my manner has to be rough. We don't have to be rough with each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, I can't give something that I haven't received. And all of that love that you receive from the Father, it blesses me to hear how you're loving your kids and how, you know, that how you have been now motivated and able to, and this is just an assumption, you have to tell me if I'm wrong, but because you were healed in that area, now you're able to connect to your children more authentically, giving them what you were missing when you reached out to your parents. Would that be a safe assumption?
That would definitely be a safe assumption. Because when you have a past and you come from your past, you can either be numb to it and pretend like it doesn't exist, or you can live your life in fear because of that. And I call it tainted love. You're like, well, why would you call it that? It's because it was a love, but it was a love out of fear because I didn't want anybody's kids, especially not mine, to experience anything that I felt. So I hovered over them. I did things for them. I coddled them. I said, but it wasn't really doing them any good. And it wasn't just my kids, because I've been in child care 19 years. So I love on other people's kids. I can say it has taught me to recognize certain things, certain behaviors, even if they were not interacting certain way, something inside me, because it was a familiar hurt, I was able to recognize it. But because I was not yet healed, I didn't know how to not. Yeah, I would pray over them, but that prayer was still like, Lord, I'm going to speak life, but I'm going to speak death at the same time. But, you know, I'm speaking life because I want them to have life, but I'm going to speak death because I know this is what they're going through. And I'm like, we're not doing this. So that's why I say it was tainted. So now when I see my kids, I can look at them and say, girl, you are beautiful. That outfit is beautiful on you. And it's not, there's no hidden jealousy because I'm giving her what I didn't get. I'm giving it to her because she deserves it. I'm giving it to her because I deserved it. I'm giving it to her because he's giving it to me. So now I'm free enough to give it to you. So yeah, definitely beyond safe. It's made my life a lot. My kids probably don't like my mushiness, but.
Yeah, but you were like on back, like you were on back order. So now it's just all give your overflow.
For 3 years, I gave my children the very thing that I didn't want them to have, the very thing that I experienced. Even though it wasn't as long as I did, they still experienced it. And I'm like, Lord, how did I allow this to happen? Well, actually, you're human. You're walking earth. Things happen. Okay, so what are you going to do about it? Well, Lord, what you mean I'm going to do about it? What you going to do about it? I did what I did. What are you going to do? I'm going to keep trusting you, and I'm going to keep being transparent. I'm going to keep talking to my children. I'm going to keep going back to the word. I'm going to keep questioning things that I don't understand. And it doesn't make me a bad person like I used to think. It makes me a person who really wants to have an understanding. I said, because if I understand, I can break it down to somebody else in my own words. So what they understand.
And, you know, it also shows curiosity and investment when you question. Right. Understanding comes when God releases it, but seeking it out isn't a fault. That shows interest. That shows curiosity. Right. God, I want to know more. I just want to know about you. I want to be around you because, you know, to get more of God, like, you got to come out of yourself. You can't hold on to what you think it's supposed to be like or what it's supposed to sound like. He's always stretching us. And
yeah.
So the more we stir our appetite, the more we are curious to know him. You know, it's real easy to get stuff. It's empty to get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To find fulfillment is getting to know God and allowing him to know us. Because, you know, in a healthy relationship, we have good exchange. You know, mm-hmm. healthy relationship, you know not to bring me something I don't eat. You know, something I don't like in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
If I have a look on my face, you know, someone who really knows you, they can even hear the tone of your voice and say, yo, something going on. You don't have to tell me right now. Something. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a healthy relationship. And even though sometimes we've been manipulated in those spaces because we had our guard down, with God is never like that. He's not like man, that he needs to manipulate anything, right? But our rehearsal of him and who he is and that value makes such a difference in our lives. I can relate so much to your testimony for so many different reasons. But I thank God for being able, you know, for being able to even usher in, be a midwife for such a moment. You know, one of the things we really try to create in every moment we do is that sense of equality. We all jacked up. We all are in need of the Savior. And when we're able to meet on that level, and that's one of the reasons why as a team, we so transparent and like, yo, what's up? You know, because if you don't see it, you ain't going to take the first step. It's like, why would I do that? Y'all not doing it, you know, but it makes for, I think, these kind of moments. And I'm so grateful for you sharing your testimony with us today and your experience. And you are completely, okay, shining. All right, I need you to understand. You were beautiful when I met you. That has not changed. But you're not timid anymore. And probably to you back then, you weren't timid, you know, because you had a big personality. No. Right? Your big personality was keeping people from seeing you, but I saw you. And I knew that you were locked away. Didn't know the why, but that never matters. When you see someone locked away, you want to be there to help them be free. And you took the steps to come out of it. And so I celebrate your courage, your bravery, how you are continuing to go forward. That is such a refreshing perspective as a mom, you know, because I know your whole life changed. You ain't even got to get into that, how things changed. But that was a lot. And I know that it took a lot of courage to say yes to God in doing some very uncomfortable things, allowing him to change your life. But now you're a doula and a paraprofessional, and you have this great relationship with your kids. I mean, that's awesome.
God has been so amazing, even downloading all these new songs and finding scriptures that I'm like, I don't even know where that's at. But that's it. I don't think I can ever go back to a place, and I'm sure I can. I don't think I want to ever go back to a place where I doubt him, where I block his voice. But from that moment, I am, if I can invent a word right now, I would. I am perfectly imperfect, and I have shirts to say it. And I am imperfect, but I'm made perfect because he's perfect in me. And it is in that moment that I'm not going back.
Yes.
I'm not going back. Yes. I'm not. So thank you. Thank you for being real, for being transparent. But above all, thank you for walking through your own healing.
I appreciate that.
So what you have, you can now give.
Yes. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's a wonderful work that we do. That's why I said I had to celebrate your bravery, because many people get in that room and feel that breeze and stay in that room. So I want you to know, like, that's not everybody don't walk out because it's so familiar. They just make their home in it and just are like, this is what I gotta be. So that says a lot about who you are as a person, that when your opportunity came, you left it all. So that's a lot for you to have looked at. Okay, well, I'm used to this. I know this. I can manage this. I can keep this. I was about to go do this. You interrupted my flow, right?
Yeah.
You could have went that way, but instead your heart, the aching in your heart, the longing in your heart, say, no, this is your moment. You got to take it, right? That's faith. Faith is, yeah, when it hurts the most, I still say yes to God. So I am excited. I am so glad that you said yes to this invitation, because I doing this podcast was about opening up the understanding, like God is literally in our midst. And if we were cognizant of him being in our midst, how different could our lives be? Like, I know we can go to church and I know we can read and I know we can pray, but it's something when you're praying and God is in your midst versus you just praying on your own. It's something different when you go to church and he's in your midst and you brought him with you. Not that you met him there, but you brought him with you. It's a difference. You know what I mean? And everything is brighter. Everything is better. You have more. Even when it gets dark outside, there's light inside. Because he's in your midst, right? Thank you so much. Continue to walk in the favor of the Lord. Remember, mediocrity is not your portion.
Yes, I hear you. Thank you.
Hey, that's what we do. We encourage each other. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
By your listening and doing better in your life, by what we are sharing with you, we are made better too. Please leave reactions and comments. Send your questions to admin@the-mist.org and join our other engagements, whether online or regional. We are on TikTok and Instagram as the.mist.tx. Please follow us there. Every Tuesday, a new episode will be available. So subscribe, share, and interact with us. Until our next episode, please continue to seek out, become more aware of God's presence in your midst. God bless.